Okay, we are still almost 3 o'clock, huh? We can start actually, huh? So I understand today Subang got this Patidana, still going on or completed? Oh, over already. Yeah, I saw in the email they prepared, I think, earlier on. Okay, we can start. So, as usual, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sada, then virya, then sati through the body. Then we will get Sister Lee and her colleague to recite the Mandarin version of the Heart Sutta, followed by our Theravada tradition. Okay.
本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无大慈大悲救啊那，南无观世音菩萨，
南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，
般若波罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨。行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄，舍利子，舍不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识，亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减，是故空中无色，无受想行识。无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味，诸法无眼界，乃至无意之界，无无明意，无无明尽，乃至无老死意，无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无自意，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃。三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知般若波罗蜜多四大神咒、四大明咒、是无上咒、是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒即所咒业。揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will now recite the English version of the Heart Sutta. Okay, the Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. We shall now recite the English version. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandhas and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulties. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristic. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness there is no form, feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, body, or mind. No sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch or dhammas. no field of I up to and including no field of my consciousness, and no ignorance or ending of ignorance, up to and including old age and death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way, no understanding, and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajnaparamita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi through reliance on Prajnaparamita. Therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and non-false. That is why the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate para gate parasam gate bodhisattva. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now do the Tirada Puja. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadattana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, we shall recite the verse for opening the Heart Sutta. We recite together. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, so now we will continue from where we stop. We will start off with the notes. 20th Heart Sutta and Meditation Notes, dated 12 August. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta as discussed. So the recap and emphasis on the previous lesson, this one, I think we have dealt with it detail enough. So I just put in the heading. The seven stages of purification are important cultivation, especially the first three, which are purification of morality, or you call sila, sila visuddhi. Visuddhi is purification. So purification of virtue or sila is very important. Some they call it the moral standard or the morality part of our cultivation. So like the Buddha advised, if you cannot keep your precept, if you cannot purify your virtue, you cannot avoid evil. So the advice of all the Buddhas are very clear. Dhammapada verse 183. All Buddhas, they teach the same when they come. Because Ananda asked the Buddha. The Buddha replied by reciting this verse. Dhammapada verse 183. The Buddha said, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyuddhapanang etang buddhana sasana. So etang buddhana sasana is, this is the teaching of all Buddhas when they come. Sabba, the opening verse is all. Papasa are evil. Akaranang, the Buddha said, all Buddhas advise the same. All evil you must avoid. Not only avoid evil, all evil you must avoid. So if you don't purify your sila or your virtue, it is very difficult for you to avoid all evil. That's why the first sila visuddhi, purification of virtue or morality, is very important. And to do this, you need sati, mindfulness, awareness, to see the evil roots, to see the three evils of greed, hatred and delusion. And these are all very important dhammas. Then only you can move on to the second purification, purification of mind. The Buddha called it citta visuddhi. So when it comes to mind, it's more than the intention behind. We are talking about purification of content of consciousness. Whatever that is within your consciousness, the content of it, you have to feel it. You have to understand it. So when you have mindfulness and you go into the content of consciousness, you actually go into the feeling. Then all the state of mind, the mind state of sankhara, the 52 mental formation. So all this, you start to develop mindfulness of its movement. Then you come to know how your mind get caught in all the evil roots, the greed, hatred and delusion, how it condition you into negativity, into evil. So you start to understand the reason why the Buddha called it the evil roots. And this is very important. The moment you are able to purify your content of consciousness, means every moment of consciousness, when the evil roots start to condition you into emotion, like selfishness, emotional negativity, your whatever unhappiness, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, or your deluded mind, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, through lack of understanding, through not understanding what is going on, your lack of understanding of what the truth is. So all this you start to see clearly, and how it conditions you into suffering, negativity, delude you to grasp and cling and to hold, and through your holding, how you suffer, how through anger you become very negative. It's an evil root. How it conditions you into negativity, you become violent, you become very emotional, you are full of hatred, full of envy and jealousy, full of emotional negativity. All this you start to see. That's why you know how to purify them. Yeah. Then all of suffering, you see the Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth of Dukkha, you start to see them. Then you investigate, contemplate, and realize the cause is your delusion that condition your selfishness and your anger, your evil root. And through that, you grasp and cling. And you react to what you see, what you hear, the greed and hatred, the sensual desire and ill will, the hindrance of mind keep on rising. That's how you become unhappy. That's how you suffer. So all this you will start to see. You will start to see. Then you will come to realize the third Noble Truth. If you don't attach, don't cling, you let things be through wisdom, the mind can be peaceful. When you have wisdom, it can be peaceful. Like the Buddha said, suffering need not be, you don't have to suffer. Then you realize the path that leads to it is the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the Four Noble Truths become clear to you. So once you are able to purify your mind, the content of consciousness, your wisdom will arise. Your initial wisdom born of the mindfulness will arise. That's why sati will lead you into the Dhamma investigation. Then you can investigate into your mind to find out whether what the Buddha is telling you is the truth or not. You can investigate into Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23. Then Dhammapada verse 183. Then also the Four Noble Truths. You can put it to investigation. Then when you realize all this stand up to investigation, you got so much joy. Then you start to understand why you must keep your precept. Because based on what the Buddha explained, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. And there is such a great spiritual law, which he called the law of karma. So after your investigation, through your citta nupassana, you will come to understand that they are true. Then there is a lot of joy, your faith, your sila will be strengthened. The faith will condition you to keep your precept, not to arise any more evil. Then when you have this right view, your cultivation becomes very straight, very easy. That's why the third stage of purification is right view, purification of view. They call ditti visuddhi. So the purification of view can only start after you have put into investigation the Dhamma. Means after you have completed sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi. Otherwise it's not easy. Then when you have your right view, your meditation becomes very straight. Then the fourth one, purification or overcoming doubt. Very easy. You got no more doubt. Then the 10 defilement of insight, they cannot trick you. They cannot delude you anymore. They cannot condition you into delusion, to trap you, to entangle you. Then later on, you will move on to the next 5th, 6th and 7th purification. You will come to know what is path and what is non-path. Then the true cultivation, they will unfold. naturally. So the seven stages of purification are very useful. The first three, you must get it right. Sila, Visuddhi, Chitta Visuddhi, and Ditti Visuddhi. Yeah? Then only you know what is the right path and what is the wrong path. Before that, you can also go to the purification of all coming down. No more doubt. Okay, then we go to part two. Part two is on the Heart Sutta. So the Heart Sutta, I just repeat what is being discussed there. With precept and samadhi complete and bright, the pearl light or the pear light appear. Actually, it should be pearl. The pearl light appear. The L is missing. The pearl light refers to the relics of the enlightened one. The relics are the what they call. You see, after you have developed the wisdom, the cultivation, your form and mind, your nature has this type of very high wisdom vibration. So the wisdom vibration, born of wisdom, the virtue, the understanding, they have a certain type of very fine vibration. And this is the one that can actually cause the relics to arise. That's why the bone structure within the form and mind of the enlightened one, they have this, what they call, property within. So because of that, the sutta said, with precepts and samadhi complete and bright. What are precepts? Precepts are your virtue, isn't it? So with precepts and samadhi means your mind is trained, unwavering, collected, doesn't think, constantly aware, see things as they are. That's why with precept and samadhi complete and bright, you definitely become enlightened. Then you definitely have this relic. That's why when you pass away, they can, after they cremate your body, have all this relic. The pearl light will appear. So this pearl light, sometimes before they cremate, for those who can see, there is a type of vibration, a type of aura that is so different. There are some beings who can see because this aura manifests. It's very fine. Then they will appear. So the pearl light refers to the relics of the enlightened one. The wisdom is within you. How do you meet it? So Xuan Hua teach you a skillful mean. Put down your upside down view or mind. Means what? Clear your delusion, understand? Your ignorance. Upside down mind is the deluded mind, the mundane mind. And let go of your false thinking, your heedless thinking, or deluded thinking. Earnestly work hard at your meditation. Means develop heedfulness. Cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha Dharma. So this will realize for you the wisdom that you need. So the wisdom is actually already within you. You can come to know it after you have cultivated, after you have understood what the delusion is. So when delusion ceases to be, your mind will settle down. Then it will meet with the wisdom nature, which is already there. You don't have to search. You can't detect it. You can't realize it is because you think a lot. You have a lot of delusion. That's why the dependent origination, the 12 links, the Buddha said, the first two links is so powerful. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Avijja means delusion and ignorance. So when there is ignorance, it conditions sankhara. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. And sankhara is your mental activity, your mental thinking, your mental reaction, your heedless activity of mind. So that's why because of avijja, all this mundane mind, the stirring of the mind come to be. Sankhara come to be. So this is the reason why wisdom cannot arise. So the wisdom is already within you. You only have to let down this ignorance or delusion. When ignorance is to be the supramundane mind, the clear true mind will appear. You don't have to do anything. It was all the while there, but you cannot perceive it because you are deluded. That's why you take the false for the real. You don't know how to silence your mind to connect with the real. You constantly search, chase, react, and create activity of mind. The stirring. That's why the false thinking mind or mundane mind is heedless and deluded. So false thinking mind is the mundane mind that is deluded and heedlessly thinking, creating. So that part is easy to understand. Then the third one is on meditation. To develop the meditation, the body and mind must be in harmony. This one I just repeat for the benefits of those who are still quite new. Then for those who already understood, it's like a revision. So to develop the meditation, the mind and body must be in harmony. That is, they must both be in a state of relax and at ease. At ease means no stress, no tension, no tightness within the physical body, and no fear, no worry, no restlessness and anxiety within the mind. Both body and mind completely relax and at ease means there is nothing to stress you up and to disturb you. The stress and tension within the physical and mental arise because of your heedless living. We are lack of mindfulness or attentiveness to live life. Because human beings are so heedless, they think a lot, they react, they are never silent. Seldom do they have this so-called quality of mind that is heedful, is constantly aware to understand what is going on. The heedless living arises because human beings tend to have a lot of problems and worries. They worry about their children's education and their future. They worry about their own health, their career, their work-related problems, their relationship with their loved one, their financial problem, their investment, their business, their wealth, their possession, etc. This is the reason why the Buddha said to meditate, one must keep one's precept, to avoid all evil so that one's karma is taken care of. We are less heedless living. If you purify your mind, if you avoid all evil, you cultivate wholesomeness, goodness and virtue, then your karma will be very, very strong. And this is the one that will condition you into the happy life. That's why when you don't take care of karma, your life become haywire. You have a lot of problem. So when you have a lot of problem, the heedless living will continue. But when you have this virtue cultivated, when you have this what they call morality cultivated, when you know how to avoid all evil and do all the wholesomeness and purify your mind, your karma become very different. You are like very blessed. Everything go your way and your life is so beautiful, so peaceful, so full of joy and happiness. That's why this type of living, you are not heedless at all. Most of the time you are full of joy, happiness, a lot of peace, a lot of understanding, because you inherit whatever you have cultivated. So you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So if you have cultivated based on the Buddha's advice, if you have avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind life after life, you will have the good life, the noble life, the happy life. So this is the meaning. So I read to you the last paragraph. This is the reason why the Buddha said, to meditate, one must keep one's precept to avoid evil, so that one's karma is taken care of. we are less heedless living. Hence the reason why the Buddha has advocated sila or morality and precept, then samadhi or meditation and panya, which is wisdom. So you heard of this before, sila, samadhi and panya. But for the lay people, the Buddha add in one more item, dana. Dana is generosity, to build up the parami for goodness to arise. So without this parami, you cannot make aspiration, you cannot have the good condition and good life to keep your precept and meditate. So dana is very important. Dana is generosity, born of the wholesome mind, the wise mind. Then sila is the same. Sila is morality or virtue and precepts. Bhavana is the meditative discipline, which is inclusive of samadhi and panya. So you have all of them also there. Okay, when it comes to the question, there is a question. Can one get enlightened through only listening and without meditation? Answer, yes. And there are many cases happening even during the time of the Buddha, like Venerable Kondanya and Sariputta and many others. Normally, these people are able to awaken through hearing only is because of their past cultivation and perfection of paramis. Most of these people have in fact cultivated very diligently before in the past. So that is the reason why this life they will have the condition to awaken just via hearing the Dhamma. This hearing of the Dhamma actually corresponds with the first turning wisdom, which the Buddha calls Suttamaya Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha. So this one is quite straightforward. Question 2. How do we apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is very irritable, throw things in front of you, and rather unfriendly towards you? Apparently, he is like that because of the way he has been brought up. So we can't really blame him, and I don't know how to deal with him. So this was the question. I think it was asked by Man Yuan. The answer is he or she one of your family members or friend? Then she answered, she is one of my family members. To apply the Dhamma is very simple. Just follow the Noble Eightfold Path. She is just the way she is. So have the right understanding or right view to accept her for what she is. Then you will be at peace. Understand that? Otherwise you react. You feel that he is very, very unfair. He is very difficult. So all this is your view, not the reality. The reality is he is the way he is or she is. If you will react and if not, you will react and perceive her with negativity that you had described via your question. This is the suffering that will arise when you are with people whom you don't like, as described by the Buddha under his first noble truth. And the cause behind is your craving, born of your delusion. So to sever this delusion and craving, you will have to accept her for what she is. Then learn to arise the right thought, the pleasant and gentle speech, followed by the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with her. Do not react or reason with her, because it will not bring about a solution to her. To her so-called problem or negativity, as you had earlier on perceived it. Have love and goodness of heart to understand her, radiate metta, and make aspiration to have her change for the better. All this can help, or will help. With mindfulness, observe her and await for the right condition to counsel her and bring her into the Dhamma fold. When conditions are appropriate, you don't force it, anasana. You don't try to influence her. she will react and become worse. So you need to have this wisdom to monitor them. Slowly, with patience, loving kindness and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days. So you must actually have your own virtue, wisdom and goodness. People can feel you. That's why you must have a lot of patience, a lot of loving kindness, virtue and wisdom. Okay, any question or not? Yeah? With regards to the notes, short notes. Do you have any question? Don't have? Then we move on. Okay, today is a new topic. Today I think we will go to page 51. Turn to page 51. Form does not differ from emptiness. So the sutta said, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. This is the part on the Heart Sutta where a lot of people cannot understand. They find it very difficult to grasp. Like very baffling. It's like, how can form be empty? Then how can emptiness be form? Because they use their thought. They don't use the spiritual understanding, the wisdom. That's why they find it so difficult to come to terms with this teaching, this reality. Especially during the early days, it's sad to note some of these people who cannot understand and grasp the Mahayana teaching, they tend to have this view. The Mahayana teaching is not the authentic one, they say. They say things that the Buddha never teach. But if you understand the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, actually anatta is not non-self alone. Non-self is part of anatta. But anatta is very deep. Emptiness is anatta. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form is also anatta. Anatta also means empty nature. Not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can grasp onto and hold onto. That's why it's also non-self, not you. Cannot be owned, cannot be possessed, cannot be held onto. Understand? You cannot own it. You cannot say, this is me, this is I. What is this form am I? Condition arising. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. Understand not? So how can you say it's me, it's I? That's why there is no such thing. Then when you see clearly how form comes to be and how form ceases to be, then you realize, before it become form, it was empty. Then after that condition arising, the form come to be. Then after that, again this form return to nature, cease to be. Then you realize, it makes sense now. Form actually is emptiness. Because before anything comes about, it was empty. Then something arises. Then this something which you call form because you perceive it. Anasana. And it's something tangible. Then you say, arise already, real. But then after a while, it's gone again. Then you start to look at it. Then you realize, it's supported by condition. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Take for example, a very simple example. This table. Yeah? Very solid, isn't it? This is form, isn't it? Why do you say it's empty? Yeah? Why? You have to reflect and contemplate. Then another example is water. Water. It's also a type of liquid form, isn't it? Why you say it's empty? Because when you heat it up, what happens? That condition change, isn't it? So you put in the heat, what happened to the heat? the heat will heat up this water until boiling point. Understand? Then what happened? It will evaporate, right? It will become vapor, yeah, vaporized. What is vapor? Huh? It's no more a solid form, right? It's gaseous, right? Then gaseous, you cannot feel, right? That's why it's not a form anymore. What was a form just now has become gaseous. Then gaseous disperse. Then where is the form? Gone. Understand? Then you study science, you say, yeah, it went into the atmosphere, air. Then you did your physics experiment before. You get a container, you can vacuum out the air, you can pump out all the air. Then what happened? Then become empty inside, isn't it? Huh? Empty of what? Empty of the gaseous content. Then what happened? No more pressure, isn't it? Clear not? That's why when you vacuum, if the container is not strong enough, it will crumble. Understand not? Because the atmospheric pressure outside is so strong. So now you start to understand, everything is conditionalizing. Then when the water vapor rises up, when the temperature cools down, it condenses, become clouds. Then when it reaches what they call the dew point, what happens? It becomes dew and water, then it starts to pour. Understand? Then when you collect the water, you put into the freezer, what happens? It frozen, become ice, solid again. Understand? So all this you start to see, and you don't need really magic to create all this. It's all within your understanding. It's part and parcel of reality. It's very scientific. So now we come and see how Xuan Hua explained. The verse. Xuan Hua every time come out with a poem, a verse. He said, form does not differ from emptiness. Is like is not. Emptiness does not differ from form. The distinction is of substance and function. Form itself is emptiness. Its true source is phantom. Means before anything began, there was nothing. It was empty. The force flow from, the force flows has dried up. Mountains, river, and great earth are only manifestation of consciousness. Dream, illusion, bubble, shadow, so it is. Be careful not to seek outside. Maintain the middle path or the middle way to cast down the stained threads of cause. Is to come towards the task. The task is the, what is the task? Suchness, the reality. The task come on. Okay, now we go to next page, the commentary. So Xuan Hua said, what is form? That which has perceptible characteristic is form. Agree or not? Whatever you can perceive, is a form. So what is emptiness? That is without, that which is without characteristic is emptiness. Understand? You cannot perceive it, understand? Like the gaseous, you can only guess about it, through science. Then why does the text say form does not differ from emptiness? Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. Now, so the sutta declare the ultimate meaning, which penetrates clearly to the most fundamental principle. So this is the part you have to slowly develop the understanding. That's why when you contemplate and reflect, develop the understanding through your own meditation and direct seeing, you will understand all this. According to Xuan Hua, he said, the mountain, the river, the great earth, and all the chambers, corridor, room, and dwelling, they are all form because you can perceive them, isn't it? They are very solid. So, what is form? Form is within emptiness. This is the first explanation that Xuan Hua explained. Form is within emptiness, understand now? Where then is emptiness? Emptiness is also within form, understand now? Form and emptiness are therefore said to be non-duality. Form does not differ from emptiness, means that they do not have differing characteristics. So this is the first analogy. Before there is something in the space, it was empty. Correct? Like you go out into space beyond our atmosphere, the earth planet, the atmosphere. There is no more air. That's why you go into space, you don't have gravity. You realize or not? You can float. Then you are not careful. You just give a push. You cannot stop. Because there is nothing to stop unless you hit something. So before anything comes into being, it was empty. Then what happened? You put in something. That something you can see and perceive, then you say it's form, correct or not? Like the ice cube, or ice block, or this table. But the moment you burn it, what happened to this table? Gone. The solidity is gone, because it's interchangeable transformation. So when you come to understand all this, before it was there, it was not there. Then when you place something there, that thing that you call form occupied that space which was emptiness before it. So emptiness is still there, understand? But the form is inside it, understand? So within form there is emptiness. Within emptiness there is form. So for those who have the wisdom, they can see, they see clearly. That's why they say form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. They are non-duality. Together they exist. It's only the mind that don't understand. They grasp at the solid one. No. They say form. Emptiness is without form. They are trying to use their thought. Well, they never see. For form to exist, there must be space. Correct or not? No space, this form cannot exist. There must be space, emptiness. That's why the cup is only useful when there is space. Understand? When there is this void inside there. Understand? Without the void, what is the cup for? It cannot hold anything. So emptiness is the same. Without emptiness, nothing can exist. Understand? Nothing can arise. The world, the universe cannot be. Is there because there is the void. There is this so-called empty space. Then we move on. Xuan Hua then say, emptiness does not differ from form. Also indicates that emptiness and form do not have different characteristics. They are one. Emptiness contain form and form contain emptiness. On the surface, two are seen, yet in actuality, it is only one. So this one is the same explanation. So to discuss form, let us consider the example of a table. He also used table. Let's see what he said. Put it in a certain empty place and it occupies the emptiness of that place so that the emptiness no longer exists. Take the table away and the emptiness immediately reappears. The place is then empty. Before the table was taken away, did the emptiness exist? See? It was there, isn't it? Yes, there was emptiness. But it was occupied by the form. The empty space certainly was not non-existent. Now, where there is emptiness, is there form. Just there lies the origin of form. That is, the form which is emptiness. We have taken a look into form and analyzed it so that it has become empty. What are they like? The body is characterized as a form Dhamma, while the mind is characterized as an emptiness. Mind and Dhamma. Mind Dhamma is emptiness Dhamma. The attainment of the principle of true emptiness is the mind, understand not? The mind that realizes enlightenment becomes empty. Empty means what? You don't hold on to anything, understand not? Empty of self, empty of delusion, empty of all the evil root, conditioning and all those things. So that's why when the mind is characterized as emptiness, mind Dhamma is emptiness Dhamma. The attainment of the emptiness of true emptiness is the mind. So the attainment of the principle of true emptiness is the mind. Since the body is a form Dhamma, from what does it come into existence? It composed of the four elements, the earth, water, fire and wind, the four great elements which comes together and they become a form body. Further, there is a place to which each of the four great elements return. When a person dies, water returns to the great element of water. Earth returns to the great element of earth. Fire returns to the great element of fire, and wind returns to the great element of wind. Each has a place to return to, so that the form no longer exists. Thus the sutta said that form itself is emptiness, and that form does not differ from emptiness. Although there is the characteristic of form now, in the future it will be empty. Thus the verse, form does not differ from emptiness. Is like, is not. Although something is, the is the same as is not. So this is how Xuanhua explained, okay? Then we go on. Emptiness does not differ from form. The distinction is of substance and function. Emptiness and form are not different. Yet, they may be considered in terms of substance and function. Emptiness refers to empty substance, while form is the function of emptiness. Although substance and function appear to be distinct, they are fundamentally one. So that's why when you come to understand, they are actually one. Form itself is emptiness. Its true source is phantom. When you actually know that form itself is empty, its true source is phantom. Your true source is rich, and you thoroughly understand. Source is the beginning of all things, the source of all creation. They use this term because it is from there everything comes to be. When you return back to your true nature, they call it the source. Emptiness itself is form. The false flow has dried up. When you actually understood that emptiness itself is form, there is no false thinking. Means you are no longer deluded. The false flow ceases. Okay, we will go on to the next part. Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. It can be said that this experience is a particular attainment in your cultivation of the way. It might also be said that the form refers to is all the varieties of beautiful form. A Chinese figure of speech for sexual matter. So, form does not differ from emptiness. The kind of pleasure obtained from real experience of attainment from cultivating the way may seem the same as the happiness derived from form Dhamma. Therefore, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. Here you have obtained bliss from your cultivation, which surpassed that of male and female relationship more than 100 trillion fold. So the mind that has gone beyond is so different. It's no longer the mundane type of happiness. Therefore, if in form you are unable, therefore, if in form you are able to understand the principle of emptiness and not get attached, neither grasping nor rejecting, nor receiving, that is emptiness. That's why you slowly come to understand. The true emptiness here means non-grasping, non-clinging, wisdom. So that you are not deluded. You are not deluded into grasping, clinging, craving that will condition your suffering. So this part is very useful. Emptiness does not differ from form, for emptiness itself is form. In emptiness, you experience genuine happiness, and the false flow has dried up. At that time, your false thinking has ceased to exist as well. Why? You have obtained a happiness which is even greater than that derived from form. You have let go of the false thinking mind. This one is already fairly good. When you can go beyond the thinking mind, the mundane mind, your wisdom would have reached a certain stability. So this part is for you to go direct into the mind. Mountain, river, and great earth are only manifestation of mind or consciousness. This one we have gone through. How you come to perceive them. They appear very solid, isn't it? The mountain. Very solid. Even the river and the great earth. But how do you come to know them? How do you come to know them? Through what? Through your perception, isn't it? You perceive it, isn't it? So they are only manifestation of consciousness, isn't it? Within your consciousness, you perceive them, isn't it? How real can it be? It's just an image, isn't it? This is a deeper meaning, understand? That's why form is empty. Like I used to explain to you all, this table. It appears very real, very solid, isn't it? But how does this table come to be? The condition behind it is arising. You will know that you need raw material, the carpenter, then somebody to do it up, offer it for sale, then somebody to buy it, then it arises. These are the conditions behind its arising. So when it arises, it's all condition arising, causal phenomena. So it exists. So this is form, okay? But then how do you know that it is a form? You perceive it through your seeing consciousness. How does perception come to be? It's only an image here and there. Correct or not? So how real can the image be? You ask yourself. Understand not? That's why it's empty. Understand not? That's why the Buddha said, your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. You create through mind, through consciousness. That's why it was never there. Understand not? When you see things as they are, before the labeling, before the concept, before the words, what do you see? What do you see? That's why the Zen master whacked the fellow in there. The student said, Master, Master, I'm enlightened. He came. Then the master pointed to the table. What is that? He said, table. The master whacked him. Because you enlightened already, you don't see the way normal people see. You are not deluded anymore. Your seeing is direct seeing. Direct seeing got nothing. Understand? It's just pure awareness. Thing is just the way it is. Nobody name it. Nobody label it. Where got table? The Englishman called table. Chinese, 桌子, Malay, meja. So what the hell is that? It's all your label. There was nothing. That's why thing is just the way it is. Just like that. Pure perception. Cannot label. Cannot name. And all of this function of mind is consciousness. come and go, empty, understand not? Image. This moment exists, next moment is gone. So how real is this form? That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. This is the deeper meaning. This is the one I teach. The first one I don't want to teach. This one is like bluffing the children, isn't it? Because it doesn't teach you any wisdom, isn't it? Originally it was empty. Then you put something there. Then form take over. But the emptiness is still there. If you teach like that, it doesn't learn anything, isn't it? But to bluff the children, understand not? That form is empty. But I don't learn anything, isn't it? What are you trying to tell me? But if I tell you the second one, the condition arising which the Buddha teach, cause of phenomena, perception, consciousness, then you start to know. All of knowing come from mind. When I apply the mind, it's all empty, understand? It's all consciousness, come and go, come and go. There is nothing solid, understand? That's why this thing that I perceive as form is actually empty, because I perceive it through consciousness, understand? It was never there, understand? When I label it, it arises, understand? When the condition is there, I can see it exists, understand? Let's say somebody stole it, or there's a fire, burn, gone. Then where is it? Cease to be. That's why all this you will come to understand very clearly why form is emptiness, emptiness is form. But there is another level which is a very high one. That one you cannot understand until you become enlightened. That one really, you can see it. You can see that form. Then because your consciousness is so different, the energy is so different. I remember during the early day, 20 years ago, one day after I took my bath, I come down. Throughout the day, I was so mindful. Then I knew something is happening. I don't understand what it was at that time because the mind suddenly changed. 1989, I still remember. I was having my bath. All of a sudden, I don't feel I exist. Only mind, consciousness, the pure awareness. I can feel everything that come down my body. There is no concept of water or what. I just feel everything that the mind can perceive. At least that is more tangible, understand? Then I start to have the wisdom. Everything I see, that form, really unreal, not real at all. Because it's all manifestation of mind, understand? Understand? Or perception. But what I really feel during my bath, whatever sensation that arises, that consciousness, that feeling part, the pure awareness part, at least that one is more tangible, understand? But I also know that one is impermanent, also not real. So that's why, for the first time, my mind was so different. Everything is false. You understand it deep inside. Then even when I brush my teeth, no more concept of the toothbrush, a solid thing. I just feel the consciousness against whatever this form am I detect. No word, nothing. Just that's why when you brush your teeth, it's no more teeth and brush. It's just the consciousness, the mind, understand not? And even this, you know, is unreal. It's not what you think. But then you start to experience them. Then I came down, I remember, I saw the TV. Also same. Everything was moving so fast, but my mind and awareness can follow. Very, very fast. But no movement. The heart is still. It can, the mind can be with all phenomena. Then every movement was like slow down. I didn't slow down. I walked normal speed. But everything like very slow. Because I aware. Fully aware, without the mind, totally aware. Then suddenly, I look outside my house. I got a van. You know what happened? The moment I perceive it, I just give it an energy. That whole thing disappeared. Then I saw the mango tree opposite my house. Because I'm a science student, I said, cannot be. How can I see through a solid thing? How can I see through the vent? It's impossible because light cannot penetrate. I cannot see. Then I want to check whether it's hallucination or what. But I know very clearly it's not hallucination. So I check. I turn my vision to that mango tree opposite my house. Again, I exert my seeing. The mango tree disappear again. No more. Gone. Then I knew. Form is emptiness. Because whatever perception that I see through the mind, there is an energy field, understand not? But when your nature and your wisdom is so high, the vibration is so high, when you perceive it through that type of vibration and mind, that whole solid form gone, that perception is gone. That's why they say like X-ray eye, you see through. It's possible. That's why X-ray can see through, understand? Because the vibration is different. The frequency is different. That's why when they take the X-ray, they can see your bones and everything. That's why your level of perception, your mind, it can be like that. But no point, huh? Don't try to do. All this will lead you to psychic phenomena. It's only for me to understand what is form, what is emptiness. And that one, you cannot do until when your mind becomes like that. And then, truly, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. It's not what you think. It can happen. And so far, I have not heard of anybody can do that and see that. No book write about it. Nobody talk about it. I only went and checked with one person, my second last teacher, that lady. You know what she told me when I went and see her that afternoon? She looked at me. She said, "Do you know what have you done?" She said, "You have done something that monk also cannot do." Then I looked at her. She said, "This is from your past." Well, this lady is very good. She got her cultivation. Then she go and tell my wife, "Get ready. Your husband will become monk." You ask my wife. That was what she told her. I also didn't know about it. But then, later on, I met another two person who tell me, the monk is in the heart, not in the robe. Understand? Then I also know, no need to wear that thing to be a monk. When your mind is monk's mind, you are the monk. Because my teacher, Acharyantra, he used to tell me, he said, "If the robe defines the monk, if I put my robe on the tree also become monk." That one really wake me up. That one really wake me up. Then I realized there are a lot of advantages. If I don't put on that one, I can do what I want to do. I can share what I want to share. Otherwise, a lot of problem. I cannot sit around under the same roof with another lady. Do you know that? If I wear the robe and I cannot touch people, I have to go by the Patimokkha. Then I also come to know later, this nature has become monk too long already. It doesn't need to become monk anymore. All this you can come to know and understand because it is your cultivation that you have actually inherited. And all this understanding you will know, you will reflect back, contemplate, then you will understand that these are the things you have done before. And why you come, how come you come like that, all you will come to understand. Because these are your vow. These are your aspiration. These are the way your cultivation take you. So, no need to know. The nature will know. Once you get connected, it come to understand everything by itself. That's why the Buddha said, the Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Pachetang. Nobody else can know. So, no need to check with people and ask. But if there is somebody you can discuss with who can actually have the same understanding or better understanding than you, then it's useful because it cuts short your journey. It cuts short your journey. They are in the position to let you know a lot of other things that are ahead of your cultivation. That's why during the early day, I still remember, my second last teacher also used to tell me. He said, finally your mind will become very different. That was before it happened, a few years before it happened. He said, finally it's only pure awareness, no more mundane mind, no more thinking mind. How really it happened? How it happened, she not able to tell me. Because she is in that state. He said, just pure awareness only, nothing else, just the true mind. But the way mind happened was so different. Because my mundane mind collapsed. And I saw the whole process, how it happened. So it's very different. Everyone is different. So you don't try to imitate. Or don't try to copy. Well, Brother Teo say, you try to go and look for it, you should die. It's not by looking. It's by just silencing your mind, cultivate. Then your nature will know. It will awaken by itself. It will happen in a very different way because you are different. Everyone is different. So no two person is the same. Okay, we go on. Oh, today we got a lot of time. I still got 10 more minutes. Okay, good. Mountain, river, and great earth are only manifestation of consciousness. So now you understand. Mountain, river, and great earth are all form Dhamma, which appear because of consciousness in our mind, which makes distinction. If we can transform the consciousness, which makes distinction, then all mountains and river and the great earth will not exist. Now you understand it, right? Because they are only perception, your mind created through consciousness. How real can this consciousness and image be? Understand now? That's why they never existed. That's why you remember last time I used to tell you, the Mahayana teaching very funny. He said, initially when you start to cultivate, they say in Mandarin, Kan San, Pu Si San. You know the meaning or not? San is mountain. When you see mountain, it's not the mountain. That is your first level of cultivation because you know it's the perception, it's not the thing. Then later on when you enlighten, Kan San, Jiu Si San, means that time you see mountain as mountain. Why? Because you see things as they are. Understand or not? Thing is just the way they are. So no need to become very spiritual anymore. Everything is just the way it is. See, that's why different time you see things differently. Then when you understand, you go back to basic. Understand now? Initially, you see the mountain is not mountain because you have the wisdom. You know it's consciousness no more. But later on when you awaken already, people say mountain. Yeah, you say mountain. Because you see things as they are. Understand now? No more with all those funny type of understanding. But when you see as with all those things, means you are in the process of cultivation, but you have not awakened. But when you awaken, you see things as they are. No word, nothing. People say mountain, yeah, mountain. People say river, yeah, river. You don't argue with people anymore. Understand? So that's why it's very different. Different stage, you do different things. Dream, illusion, bubble, shadow, so it is. All is like a dream, see? You know what is a dream, Not so real, Everyone knows about dream because everyone has them. But if I ask you why you have a particular dream, you reply. Your reply may seem to be correct, but it will not necessarily be accurate. You might say, what I do during the day, I dream about it at night. Or perhaps you will say, in the past I experienced something, and as a consequence, I had a dream about it. However, you sometimes dream about things that you have no previous experience of. How do you explain that? How can sorry, you can't, and you cannot say how you awoke from the dream either. This is to be murky and mixed up. As soon as you awake from a dream, you forget it. Think about that. You have a dream, and after less than 10 hours had passed, you have forgotten it entirely. Now let's consider the content of our past life. You are thinking, I don't believe there are past life. If I have past life, why don't I remember them? Take the dream as a comparison. The day passes and the dream of the night before is forgotten. How much the less can we remember the event of our past life? If a person is dreaming about being rich and prominent, and someone appear in the dream and say to the dreamer, you are rich and a great officer, and you have many sons and daughters and a lot of property, but none of it is real, it is just a dream. The dreamer can't believe it's true, and he replied, what? I have amassed great wealth, am a great high officer, have many sons and daughters and vast property. How can I be dreaming? Regardless of what happened, the dreamer doesn't believe that he was in a dream. Upon waking, he realized without being told that he was dreaming. When I made so much money and was an officer and had so many sons and daughters and vast property, it all was only a dream. It wasn't true. Without being told, he knows. Why? Because he has awakened from his dream. Understand? So when you live life, it's the same. When you are deluded, you are still dreaming. Understand? That's why you are heedlessly dreaming. But the moment you know you are dreaming, you awaken. Understand? Then you know it's a dream. Everything is just a dream. How real can it be? I re-explained to you that moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? You can reflect and contemplate. Since birth until now, you cannot deny you existed. All this time, all this year. If I ask you one question, is it real? Is it real? You cannot deny you existed. Is it real? Where got real? You cannot even hold on to it or even talk about it, because it's only recall through mind, understand not? Because the very moment is gone, no more, dead and gone, because everything arises within the moment, understand not? As real as it can be, as real as it can be, is only within the moment. After that moment, dead and gone. Why do you hold on to things? Understand? Every moment is a different moment. Every moment is birth and death, birth and death. That's why life is not what you think. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. After that moment is dead and gone. Why do you hold on to all these things? Understand? Everything that happened, you can only recall to mind through what? Memory. Understand? That's why I like that Mandarin song. 往事只能回味. You can only recall the past. Understand? How real can it be? You can never deny you were born. You witness all those things, your parents, your brothers, your sister, and all those things. You can talk about it, memory. But how real is it? Every of those moments is dead and gone. Understand? That's why the past is already gone. Dead and gone. You cannot change. Future yet to come, never a reality. The reality is within the moment. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And every moment, life just arises and passes away. That's why as real as it can be, it's only within the moment. But there is such thing as life, understand? Moment to moment, you can experience them if you are not deluded. You can have life. You can live life to the fullest. you can experience light to the full. There is such thing as light, even though it's in the moment, moment to moment, consciousness. Beautiful. But don't cling, don't grasp, don't hold, don't be deluded, anasana. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. After that, it's dead and gone. Always remember that. Every experience is within the moment. After that, it's gone. That's why you cling through memory. You attach through memory. Then you recall. Then you worry about it. You create your own fear. I always tell you the same thing. It's only a thought through memory. How come it got such power to make you so miserable, so unhappy, and so full of jealousy? Isn't this delusion? Isn't this stupidity? That's why the Buddha says it's all ignorant. Without ignorance, you are beautiful. You don't have to suffer. It's only a thought. How come you got such power? Because you cannot see the impermanence. You cannot see the suffering state when you grasp and cling and give meaning, when you hold, when you deludedly hold onto experience that arise and pass away within each and every moment of life. Why are you so deluded? That's why I wake up, say, understand? When you wake up and realize you are dreaming, then you know it's a dream, isn't it? Then you no longer deluded, isn't it? You no longer think, like he said, you are a high-ranking officer, you have amassed all the wealth, you have son, you have children, you have daughter, you have all those things. Then you realize it was a dream. Then you think all of the life you've gone through is not a dream? Worse than a dream, it's gone. At least dream that moment, you still can have that experience. But it's dead and gone. But the only difference is this form and mind exist much longer. Understand? There are certain things that comes with your karma inheritance, your hard work and all those things. The condition that arise, your loved one. These are the things that can still be around for you. Understand? That's why there is such thing as life. Understand? That's why you can still live, even though it's only within the moment. Understand now? But there is such thing as life. That's why true wisdom or emptiness is wonderful existence. That's why there is such thing as wonderful existence. That's why with that understanding and wisdom, you can choose to come. And yet, you can live this beautiful phase of life. That's why without suffering, like the Buddha said, a life that is free from fear, worry, anxiety, suffering and misery is so beautiful, understand? You can still live life to the fullest. Yeah. Truly live, not deludedly worrying about life, thinking and planning, then arguing, quarreling, fighting. Over what? Over life. Over emptiness, over something that is so unreal. That's why when you really understand, you realize how deluded living beings are. I like the Mahayana word stupidity, really stupid. Really stupidity. 真的很傻. Yeah, you cannot see because everything is so real, understand? Because our world, our civilization, the level of sensuality is so high. Do you know that? There is so many good food, good places to visit. Then there is such beautiful entertainment industry, understand? You can go and listen to nice music, understand? Then you can really have fun in many, many interesting ways. Then you can have friends, you can have relationship, provided they are all going your way. Everything that goes your way can be beautiful. But when you have wisdom, whether it goes your way or it don't go your way, you are always happy, full of joy, and it's always beautiful. because you understand them for what they are. Thing is just the way it is. You echo, you flow, you still have joy, you still have understanding, you still have love. That's why when you have this, you never unhappy. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to react to life. You don't have to become afflicted anymore. No more entanglement, because there is no more delusion. Nothing in this world can delude you anymore. You just laugh. Even they get angry, they do so many things, you just laugh. You just say, thank you so much. Yeah. Because they cannot understand. It's not real. And whatever they do, they are creating more karmic negativity without their understanding. That's why every life they come, they are miserable. And for those who understand, every life they come, they are so beautiful. Understand? That's why the teaching is so beautiful. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. Law of karma. That's why the first right view, law of karma, nothing else. If you have that right, you know how to live life. Very beautiful, meaningful life. Mm. Okay, we need to move on a bit. 4:30 already. Okay. You should know that now we are... Now he explained the same thing. You should know that now we two are dreaming. Huh? I am telling you right now that you are dreaming. But you can't believe it. Wait until you cultivate. Cultivate to understand. And everything I did before was all a dream. This is what he didn't explain. I just now explained to you. As real as it can be, it's only in the moment. Once it's gone, dead and gone. That's why it's a dream. Understand or not? No reality. But he didn't explain. He asked you to cultivate. Cultivate to understand. And then you will understand. Everything I did before was all a dream. You should have done no more than dream. Upon waking, you will know. Know from the ground up, I was dreaming before. All that came before was a dream. This is what is meant by the word dream in the verse. But he never explained to you. That's why if I don't explain to you, you can never understand what he say. Yeah? What is meant by illusion? This one is also very interesting. For instance, a magician creates something from nothing. That's why the magician is also called illusionist, isn't it? Correct or not? What is an illusionist? An illusionist is the one who creates illusion for you to see that. An illusionist is also called a magician, isn't it? He can also make something turn into nothing. However, although such illusion of change are not phantomed by small children who see the magic as real, adults see through the deception of the magician's transformation. They recognize the illusion for what it is. Means he deceived you. Bubble refers to bubble of water, which bursts after not very long. They are impermanent. Shadow refers specifically to a person's shadow. Is a person's shadow real? It's a reflection on his head. You may say the shadow is unreal, but look at it. There it is, exists. If you say that it is real, try to grasp it. You cannot, isn't it? You look and therefore it's a shadow. You try to gather it up with your hand, but you can't catch it. So is it real or unreal? Say it is unreal, yet it still exists. Say it is real, yet it cannot be gathered up. Understand? The shadow is a very good example. Understand? That's why they say when you become so deluded, you are fighting your own shadow. Understand? Fighting your own shadow means what? You create your own fear. Understand? You see shadow, you think it's ghost. Then you keep on panicking. Understand? When you are alive, the shadow is just a shadow. But when you die and don't have your body, the shadow becomes a ghost. And the sight, I actually missed out one paragraph. Thank you. Where does the shadow come from? Okay. It is found on the north side of your body, on the yang side, the sunny southern side. There is no shadow. On the inside, the shadow follows you wherever you go. The shadow I am talking about in the verse is an analogy. Like a ghost, it follows you wherever you go. As soon as people who are afraid of ghosts see a dark shadow, their hearts respond with great fear. See? Chasing after your own shadow. Their hearts go thump, thump, thump. Oh, a ghost has come. It's a ghost, although originally it was just a shadow. So here he said, when you are alive, the shadow is just a shadow. But when you die and don't have your body, the shadow becomes a ghost. And the sight, which does not have a shadow, changes into a god. The god and the ghost, however, are not two. They are one. If you are full of young energy, you move to the side where there is no shadow. If you are full of yin energy, you move to the shaded side. You move to the side where your strength is greater. If you have a lot of merits, you rise to the heaven. If the karma of your offense are great, you fall into the hell. Therefore the verse, dream, illusion, bubble and shadow, so it is. That's just the way it is, miss. Thing is just the way it is. Be careful not to seek outside. Maintain the middle way. You shouldn't seek outside yourself. It is all within you. Your own form and mind lead you to your nature. To cast down stain thread, of course, is to come towards dust. This one is very profound. You are stained thread of causes, thoughts of desire. All of your causes are karmic, understand that? Mental intention. You create them. That's why cause and effect, cause and effect. Greed in the mind is the stained thread of cause, the evil root. Hatred is also the same. Stupidity is also the same. The taking of life is all breaking precept. Stealing is breaking precept. Deviant desire or lust is breaking precept. False speech is breaking precept. Alcohol, drugs, and the like are all breaking precepts. Stained threads, of course. Cast down all the strained thread, of course, and join the family of the Tathagata one, means the enlightened one, the Buddha, the Tathagata. To have cast down the stained thread, of course, is to have come close to the realization of Buddhahood. To have come towards the Tathagata, suchness. One who has realized Buddhahood is called the Tathagata one. Not having realized Buddhahood, we are said to be coming towards the Tathas. Only when we have arrived can we become Tathas. If we have not arrived, we are not Tathas. Arrive where? Where the Buddha is. Tathas is everything fully united with principle, with the noumena. Means phenomenal world and noumena world become one. Not the smallest thing is wrong. Everything is right. Just that is to come towards the Tathas. When you reach this understanding, suchness, you become beautiful. Means you accept things as they are. Thing is just the way it is, suchness. Okay, I think we stop here. After that, we continue. Emptiness is true emptiness. This one still take quite a long while. This chapter is a bit long. Okay, we stop here. You got any question so far before we start our second session? Okay. You got any question? Anything that you need clarification or not sure? Otherwise, we can take a 2 or 3 minutes break, then you come back and we start the meditation. Okay, thank you. Recording. Okay. Maybe today the meditation, huh? We will do it slightly different, huh? Because I realize many of you still, huh? Not very sure as how to do the bowing, huh? You see, we will do 5 to 10 minutes of bowing, huh? Then after that, you try your sitting. You will help a lot because everybody is here before, huh? Nobody is new, huh? Okay, so the bowing is very simple. You can either recite Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo, then you pay respect, you bow mindfully, do it, then you come out. Then as you recite, you bow again, then you come out. Or you can chant Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa, Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. So as you are aware, you bow, you recite with a calm mind. The reciting is to develop the affinity with either Sakyamuni or Kuan Yin, understand not? So that the faith is the one that drives you to develop the sati and the mindfulness. So the mindfulness, when you bow, the body and the mind move as one. Don't try to know anything. Don't try even to be mindful. Just recite with the faith. Homage to thee, the blessed one. The fully enlightened one. Yeah? That is the English translation. Yeah? Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo means homage to the original teacher, Sakyamuni. You just bow, then come out. Bow, come out. Every time you bow, you recite, then you come out. Every time you bow, you recite. I will ring the bell, yeah? After about maybe 10 minutes. Huh? 10 minutes is very long for you all if it's the first time. If you cannot, you can stop. Then you can sit and meditate. If you can, you try to do for about 10 minutes. Then I will ring the bell. Then after that, you do your sitting. Sitting also another 10 to 15 minutes. So that we can have about almost 40 or 50 minutes of Q&A or reporting. Okay, so now you can start doing your bowing. You can either kneel down and do the 5-point prostration, or you can do your Mahayana way. Stand up, bow down, stand up. Whichever way suit you, you use it. It's not compulsory. Any of this prostration that can bring about the faith and the mindfulness, you use it. So you just decide. Which one you want to chant, huh? Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo or Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa, huh? Okay, we can start now, huh? You all can see how I do also, but I cannot recite it out loudly. It's inside the heart, I just do, The rhythm is up to you, You will find your own rhythm finally. Because when your mindfulness stabilizes, you will know how fast and how slow. Nobody can tell you, You will know how to adjust. That is the best one. Then you will know. Okay. For those who find the bowing useful, you can continue to bow if you want to. Then after that, you sit. For those who are tired, you can now sit. You sit for about 10 to 15 minutes. I will ring the bell again. Then we will have our Q&A. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Try to develop whatever calmness, whatever inner awareness and mindfulness that you have cultivated. Maintain them for as long as you can. Yeah? These are the important mind training that you need to develop. The mind that is trained will have this stability of mindfulness within. The mindfulness, when it's already developed, can stabilize. Then you will be in a state of very relaxed inner awareness, just silent and aware. The mind that is trained is peaceful, calm, and aware within, little or no thought. Then you can use this mind that is trained to develop the meditation. The Buddha called it apamada, or heedfulness. When you are able to train this mind to be constantly aware, mindful within, then able to use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, with particular emphasis on the four foundations of mindfulness, especially the daily mindfulness. That is the real meditation. Then the focus of this meditation is to develop the insight, knowledges, the wisdom that come with the mind that understands all phenomena, its universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. These three universal characteristics can be seen everywhere in the midst of life and nature. The only thing that you need is mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, awareness, a silent mind, a mind that is constantly aware, silent within. Then this other mind that has the ability to see your internal mental movement, all of your mental states and emotion, the feeling, how it moves, how it become pleasant and unpleasant, how the like and dislike, how the reaction of mind, what are the things that condition all this reaction and movement of mind within the content of consciousness and your feeling. You start to see them all. Then you can relate back to the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination, how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away, how it is conditioned into what it is, dependent on the dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca samuppanna. All this you can come to witness within your own mind once your mindfulness is developed. So, ability to use this mind that is trained to develop the wisdom, to awaken, to liberate your mind, to free your mind, so that it's no longer deluded like what we studied just now under the Heart Sutta Dhamma. Once you are able to develop the penetrative insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, your wisdom will arise. You will understand clearly that all of phenomena exhibit this universal characteristic. That's why they are of this nature, impermanent. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. They are born and they die. Each and every of the aggregate of mind behave the same. All of your feeling arise and pass away, come and go. All of your perception arise and pass away. All of your thought process, activity of mind, feeling, mental states, mental intention, they arise and pass away. All of consciousness is the same. They go the way of nature. They are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena, in a state of continuous flux. Everything that you come to perceive, all of phenomena in nature, in life, your physical phenomena, your mental phenomena, nature's phenomena, they exhibit this characteristic. You can see them. The moment of arising is sustained and is passing away. Even your breathing, the in and out breath, the birth and death of every breath, your footstep also, arising and passing away of every step you take. That's why all of phenomena that you come to witness, you will see them very clearly. And everything is following a nature's law, condition arising, cause of phenomena. When condition arise, phenomena arise. When condition continue to sustain itself, it will continue to exist. When condition cease to be, the phenomena cease to be. That's why it's impermanent, leading to empty nature, anatta, not a permanent unchanging entity, following nature's law. You cannot want it your way, it go the way of nature. If you grasp and cling and try to hold and want things your way, suffering comes to be. That's why the universal characteristics of dukkha is there. Human beings' problem is they got a lot of delusion. Because of that, they are conditioned into the evil roots that condition their mental negativity. The evil roots has the power to make them very evil. That's why from there, karmically, they are conditioned into a lot of negativity. Then they become afflicted, miserable. Suffering comes to be, all born of delusion, ignorance. So all this, you need mindfulness, awareness, and heedfulness to understand. That's why sati is the first enlightenment factor. Without sati, without mindfulness, you cannot start. Meditation cannot arise. With sati, you can investigate the Dhamma. Then when Dhamma stand up to investigation, your faith become very strong, unshakable. Then your virya develop. Then from there, your mindfulness will develop. Mindfulness is very simple if you know how to develop it. Your natural state without thought is already mindful. So you just have to be in a natural relaxed state of inner awareness. Just be aware. All action, all movement in the present moment, that is the awareness. Just silence your mind to feel, to be aware, that's it. The bowing help a lot. So just now, first time you try, after you bow, you sit, you find that you got very little random thought, heedless thought, because the momentum of mindfulness will stop you from thinking. Then there is a lot of advantages or benefits that come with bowing. First, you exercise your body. Then you develop what they call respect for the Buddha or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And this respect is reverential salutation. So this one can bring about a lot of meritorious action. Because Kuan Yin and the Buddha are the fully enlightened ones. So if you pay respect through understanding, you develop the faith, the saddha, very strong. Then you sincerely cultivate the respect. So the field of merits is immeasurable. Then you can make use of these merits to invoke your aspiration for you to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. Then at the same time, you cultivate mindfulness. The mindfulness that comes with this saddha, we are reciting the name of the Buddha or respect for the Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, can be very powerful. When the body and mind moves as one without thought, mindfulness stabilizes. You do it frequent enough, twice a day at least, before you sleep and when you wake up, then in between when you meditate, it will help a lot. I remember the early days, 1986, Xuan Hua, I took refuge, my whole family took refuge under him. His first prerequisite to be his disciple, so that you don't be a burden to him. Because he got a vow, not until all those who take refuge under him, his disciple, are enlightened, he refused to become enlightened. So he said, if you delay him, he cannot become enlightened. So because of that, he said, each and everyone who wants to be his disciple, you must determine and promise him, you will bow. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Pay homage to Sakyamuni Buddha, the original teacher. Because his teacher is also Sakyamuni. He said you must bow minimum 10,000 bow within 3 months. Which means average 3,300 over bow a month, which is about 100 over bow per day. If it's 30 days, 100 bow is 3,000. So you must do at least 120. You can time yourself, depend on your speed. So you put alarm clock, 5 minutes. Then you calculate. That time you don't have to chant. You just homage to the Sakyamuni Buddha, then one, come out. Homage to the Sakyamuni Buddha, two, you come out. You count until the bell ring, see how many bow. Then you will know one day you have to bow how many times. But I was lucky because my faith was so strong. I remember I finished everything in less than two months, which means one day I bow about 300 bow, 200-300 bow, continuously. Then I find it so good. Every time I do that, I sit, no thought. Then my mind settled down very fast. Then after that, I realize when I come out of it, I'm fully mindful. Then every movement, every action, when I turn, my mind is with my body. It's all there. That's why Kaya Nupassana become very simple. Kaya is the body form. Nupassana is mindfulness. Understand that? Pasana is insight into. Nupassana is like you contemplate and become mindful of. Means you contemplate this kaya to develop the wisdom, to insight into the wisdom. But kaya nupassana training is to anchor the mind to the kaya so that this mind does not heedlessly wander off and think. When you are with the kaya, with the moment, it can be your breathing, your action, your movement, your eye blinking, or any movement within your form. That's why we choose aware of all action, all movement in the present moment. This is what my teacher taught me, Ajayantra. When I remember that instruction, I know how to do. All of my action and movement, I just aware. I never try to know. I just aware. Then the mindfulness just come. Because I realize when I start to do that, my mind is anchored to the movement. And my movement is always in the moment, without thought. That's why I am fully aware. That's how I decondition all my heedless thinking. And within that 1 to 2 months, very fast, my whole nature settled down. The first 2 weeks was very important, I remember. The first 2 weeks, very fast, I become very mindful. The awareness just came. Then I realized, the mind got no thought. Then I start to understand what mindfulness is. Not what people teach me. Not the noting. Not the standing, intending to walk. No such thing. Because I check myself. No. My mind just move. And the form just together. Then I realized there is no noting at all. No chattering at all. The body and mind move as one. And when I do that, I got no thought. When I don't do that, I realize I think a lot. I think ahead. The mind, like the Buddha said, forerunner of all things. Mental intention keep on arising. Then the mental intention condition you to do things. Then before you can do that thing, another thought arise. So that's why sometimes when you are at home, everybody experiences, I also went through it during the early day. Suddenly I went upstairs, I remember something I want to do. Then there is a mental intention to come down and get the thing. Then that one supposed to condition me to go down. I supposed to be with the moment, just walk down mindfully and get the thing and come out. But the trouble is, we think a lot. As the mental intention arrives, I continue to think about other things. But my body moved out of the room without me aware. Understand? Then when I reached the staircase, I was still thinking. Then I asked myself, what am I here for? I forgot. Then the thought come. Oh, I want to take something. What was that thing? Cannot remember. So heedless. That's why when I have that mindfulness that time, I compare. I'm now so different. When the mind arises, I have a choice. If I want to go down and take, I move. As I move, I aware. My body and mind as one. That's why I don't think anymore. Then when I go down, my mind is clarity. Then I will know what I want to do down there. Then after I take, again, no thought. Then I move up. That's why your mind is so different. That's why mindfulness is so different. That's why Kaya Nupassana is a very important training. Then like the Buddha said, you start with Anapanasati. You train. Then when you train ready, you become mindful. Then you be aware. Use this to meditate. Use the trained mind that is aware, mindful to meditate. The next category is be mindful of the four postures. When you walk, you just aware. When you stand, you just aware. Don't think. When you turn, bend, stretch, just aware. Sit down, just aware. Lie down, just aware. Then you change posture, just aware. Then after that, sati sampajana is the third category of practice. You connect all the daily mindfulness. All of the action and movement between sitting, standing, lying down and walking, they have this in between. And this is the daily mindfulness. This is mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. Once you do that, your mind will have this ability to see things as they are. It can have this mindfulness to see your mental intention, to see how you are conditioned into the evil roots that condition your karmic negativity that cause your suffering. Then you can see behind all of your evil roots, there is this delusion or ignorance, the wrong view that condition you to constantly develop the wrong habitual tendency to perform the wrong thing. This is how you develop wisdom and you understand how you get into trouble, how suffering comes to be. Then you understand the Buddha Dharma. That's how you can change. Then you like wake up from the dream, like Master Xuan Hua said. When you don't know you are dreaming, you think you still very great, like that dream. You are general, you own a lot of things, you have children, but it's a dream. But when you wake up, you know that it's a dream, you no longer deluded anymore, you don't believe all those things anymore. Then you work towards it. Understand now? Meditation is the same. The moment you see, you understand, you wake up from that dream state, that heedless living, then you realize this is not the way to live life. Otherwise, you suffer. Otherwise, suffering will be the cause, will be the result. Suffering will constantly arise. That's why living beings suffer. Okay, now we still got almost 25 minutes. We still got enough time for reporting. Okay, you want to do report, you can report. Make full use of this second session to report your meditation. Then ask me questions. Whatever you want to know regarding the meditation, the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here, and the Dhamma and the meditation to help you understand life, to help you develop the wisdom to live life. Okay. Anybody got any question? No, you can even report how was it just now the bowing. Huh? Do you feel calm or whatever?
Initially, I didn't realize yet. Almost towards the end. Then you really can find.
Then it settled down. Then you realize it's like automatic. You do it like automatic. Your mind become conditioned into it, and it become mindful on its own. But you must maintain the awareness within the mind that is just aware. Don't try to know anything. The wisdom will come later. It will understand by itself. When there is sati, you will understand. Sati is life. Believe what the Buddha tell you. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. True. You only need to develop sati, mindfulness, aware, to be heedful. Then you free, you sure enlightenment. That's why it's so easy. Just be aware, heedful, nothing else. The heedless are as if dead, never be heedless anymore. You must train your mind, don't play a fool. It's not a joke, because suffering can be very real when you don't understand. You are trapped in it. Like I used to share with the Saturday class on. A lot of human beings, they are trapped in suffering without knowing. If they know, they will not allow it to happen. That's why I always ask them. We understand it. I always tell you that we hold the key to our own life destiny, right? Now. To be happy or to be unhappy, you have a choice. You decide. Correct? Right? Why do you choose to be miserable and unhappy? You never choose that way. Then how come so many people are so unhappy and so miserable? It's like they choose to be like that. I tell them, no, they didn't choose. It is through their own ignorance or delusion that they are conditioned into those miserable states, suffering state. They don't know what is happening. And that's how no. Their own delusion, ignorance, condition them into such misery. And when they are trapped inside, they still don't know what is suffering. They still think life is very unfair. They blame people for what happened. Understand? That's why they never see. And they don't know this is suffering, because they thought everybody also do that. Everybody also go through that. When things don't go your way, you're very unhappy, very angry. You want to, like, go ahead and just do something to solve it. And most of the time you solve it through what? Through your anger, through your impatience, through your unhappiness. Then you develop more evil, your jealousy, your hatred, your frustration, all. Then you think and think and think, then you plan. You plan to become more mischievous. More what they call violent, or more selfish. We just want to take revenge and get it. That's why you don't know the nature's law that governs all this. Everything you do that is against the nature's law, it boomerang back. That's why you suffer. That's why without right view, without wisdom, you always get yourself into trouble. You always entangle yourself. Suffering always arises because the cause of suffering is your delusion, your ignorance, that condition, your craving, your clinging, your grasping, your holding on to things, your reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you hold on to dearly, even your body, your health, because you deludedly think it's you, sakayadhiti, self-delusion. Then you grasp onto this form, this mind. That's why you suffer. You worry about it getting sick, worry about it getting diseased, worry about it dying. Then there is so much fear. So all these are what the Buddha called delusion, ignorance. You don't understand who you are, what you are. You cannot see things as they are. Without wisdom, you cannot decide. without wisdom, you are being conditioned by your karma. That's why I always say, human being 99.999% karmically conditioned. You cannot free from the law of karma unless you have wisdom. Most living beings are trapped. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah, Ingbi, yes.
In the beginning, we mentioned like Namo Bunsu Sijamoni for the rebound. But I realized sometimes I don't recite.
No need. Because sometimes it's already in your heart. You just do it. Actually, that one is to develop the faith. Because a lot of people, when they don't chant Namo Bunsu Sijamoni for, their mind think, wonder, and they are not mindful. They are heedless, lost in thought. So that one is to develop the faith. With the faith, you develop the mindfulness. So it's the skillful means that the Buddha teach. This is under Mahayana. So every time it's like the Sakyamuni is puja. You pay respect, then you recite homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. While you do it and you pay your respect, the merits is there, your mindfulness is there, your sadha is there, your virya is there. Where your mind becomes composed, the faith is there. But if you are training for mindfulness to be developed, then like Engby say, once you understand already, you no need to chant also can, because you already have the faith. So you just do, understand? It's up to you. Everyone is different. Some people need to go through the faith. They have a lot of affinity with Sakyamuni. Some have a lot of affinity with Kuan Yin. Some with Manjushri. It depends. So whoever you have affinity, you chant, it connects you. Then you settle down very fast. So you have to find out yourself.
When I bow,
yes.
I can aware the hand closing up and then touching, and then yes. I can aware the breathing.
Very good. Sadhu. Very good. This is what your awareness will be able to let you know. Your hand, the whole movement is like a slow motion. Then how it move from here, then how it come down, and how your whole body go down. It's like slow motion. Ta 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 ta. You go down. Your body and mind, but no sound.
It's like your
yes, you will know one. Everything is clearly aware. When you are without thought, you are aware, you are sensitive, and all this you can see, you can pick it up. It's nothing magic. When you don't think, your mind can only do one thing at a time. When you don't think, you are aware. Understand? That's why you can be aware of all this movement inside. But when you are lost in thought, how can you be aware? That's why it's sensual desire, ill will. You are preoccupied with what you think. That's why you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you are never mindful. That's why when you bow, you don't think. You just bow. You just do it. Then the mindfulness will come. After a while, like Miss Lee said, when you fall into the rhythm, you realize, automatic, you just do. Then it's like very nice. Then you will do at a pace where you don't feel tired at all. You are mindful. When you are mindful, you use very little energy. You conserve energy. Thinking takes up the most energy. Do you know that? You think a lot, you're very tired. That's why when you study, you think a lot, you're very tired. That's why you can sleep very well. But when you have fear, you cannot sleep. When you fear of the exam, worry about it, you can. But if you study very well, your mind very clear, then you're very confident, very calm. Very easy to sleep on. Last time when I study, I want to sleep, I just sleep. My mind very strong. Because during that time, I have clarity. Then when I study with understanding. I don't go and think on. But I realize when I study, I need to remember things. That's why that memory take up a lot of energy. When I was studying in the uni, I very did not. I eat a lot of food on. But I cannot put on weight on. Because that time use up a lot of mental energy. But the moment I graduate from about 109 pounds, I straight away shoot to 132 pounds. Then the weight constant. because that time I don't have to memorize, I don't have to study, I don't use my thoughts so often. Then my weight stagnate. I put on weight very fast. I got only 3 phases of weight change. Before I go to uni, I 90 pounds, like that, very light. Then when I went to uni, I got good food, enough rest, and I can have proper exercise. That's why the university was very good. The air there very fresh. The food there very good. Straight away from 90 over pounds, I shoot up to 108 and 9. First term, I stopped there until I graduate. Then from there, another stage when I work. Until today, same. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can do it in the office or your home. Last time I still remember, sometimes we got this lunch break. I will off my light, I will do it in my room also, my office room. Then sometimes I will just sit on my executive chair and meditate. That one I do a lot. Every day I do. Every morning when I go to the office, I do. During the early day, when I wake up, I do. Then I go to office, I do. Then lunchtime, I have a quick lunch, then I come back, I do my meditation. Then after office, I do again. Then only I go home. Then before I sleep, I do again. That's why that time my cultivation was like continuous. That's why I tell people it's a full-time job. They cannot understand. They thought they must work. Full-time is give up their career. Means don't work. So one of the girls almost got her wrong. She came and asked me, Brother Teo, I almost resigned from my job. I heard you say full-time job. So he thought cannot work full-time on meditation. No, I said full-time job means throughout the day you meditate even while you are in your working life. Understand? No? That's why sometimes words are very dangerous. He said, you say full-time job. Yeah, I did say that. But I never say you must retire or resign. Full-time is throughout the day. And it's your waking moment. You continuously cultivate. Then later on, you can even bring it to your sleeping state. That's why it's a 24-hour meditation. Finally, can be done. I did it. That's why I know it can be done 24 hours. But when you already understood, no need to subject yourself to that type of training, because you only do it during that period, that phase, when their mind is like that. Then you can do it, and you understand that this is possible. That's why you go through that phase. But after that, when your understanding unfolds, when you understand what this is, you move. Then you do different things. That's why your cultivation, every stage is different. Every stage is different. I still remember, at certain time, all of a sudden, I just want to eat vegetarian. I don't know why. There is no thought that say, no, you must take vegetarian. No, because that time my body very funny. It understand it must go vegetarian. When I take other things, not suitable. So that 3 or 6 months, I remember, I try to go there and order. I like kon lo mee, the char siu, very nice. Then there was one of this store. Every time I go there, he know I like char siu. Then one day I go, I say, can I make a small request? He say, yeah, I can. I say, I just want kon lo and the veggie, without the char siu. He look at me. Are you sure? I say. Then, as little salt and as little oil as possible. He look at me. He still do for me. He doesn't understand. Because where got people eat like that? And he know I eat the char siu before. He used to sell to me. That's why during that phase was a bit funny, a bit strange. Then later on, I come to know, as I pass through that phase, my body is different. Certain time it needs certain type of food. Then when it's hungry, you will know. That's why sometimes, certain time after I give talk or what, at night, I need to go for supper, because the body need food, and the food it need, it knows one. But of course, sometimes also the thing I like to eat, then I will go and have it. But I very clear one, if I know it's not good for my body, when I understand, I just give up. I will not eat. Last time I don't like to eat oat one. You ask my wife, I see oat, I don't like to eat one. Then recently my blood test, my good cholesterol cannot go out. My good cholesterol dropped to 8.85, so low. Minimum is 1.2. It dropped to 0.85, from 1.0 something to 0.9 something, then 0.9, then 0.85. Then I was telling myself, how can I go up my good cholesterol? Everybody talk about this oat. So what I do, I tell my wife, okay, you prepare oat. Then I eat. Until today, I eat. When I know it's good for my body, I just eat. Then I will eat. I will like to eat. Thing that I don't like to eat, also I will like to eat. Because this body understands. When it understands, it will eat. Automatic. Then the blood test came back. Oh, very good. From 0.85, go up to 1. 1.0 something. Now 1.1 something. Almost 1.2 already. I think the next blood test will exceed the minimum already. The oat is very good, the organic oat. I only morning take one bowl of oat. And the good cholesterol, HDL, go up. Because that time, anybody take this sky fruit, Sui An last night recommend, don't take, please. The Zi Tian Guo, don't take. Because that time, they also recommend to me, it's supposed to be very good. I eat already, I also feel it's good. But I didn't know it's bad for the liver. Luckily, I take my blood test every 6 months, my sister do for me. The blood test show out. My sister told me, what have you been eating? She said, how come your liver function all the time very good one? My kidney, liver, my organ all very good one. Never problem. Suddenly start to shoot up. Then I straight away know must be due to that one. I recently took that one, the fruit. So I say, don't worry, I will stop it. So I stopped. 2 days later, she come and take. The thing start to drop a bit. Then after that, 1 week later, she come and take. Drop quite a bit. Then another week take, now back to normal already. My liver function all back to normal. At one stage, it shoot up very high. Because I've been taking for the last 4 or 5 months consistently. Then later on, I increase it to morning and night. 1 day, 2 tablets. I put into capsule. That's why you must do your blood test. All this will show up. Sometimes it's good initially, but side effect, something else. That's why you must find out. So you must know yourself. Because you will come to know. Because I also somehow feel that after I take that one, yes, it gives me more energy physically. Then I start to feel that it's not a very smooth type of good feeling. Other part, like, not so good. Then I can feel a bit, but I don't know what was it. Until the result come. Then straight away I know. Then I tell my sister, you don't worry. I will just stop that one. Then I take oat. Because at the same time, I saw my cholesterol. You know, it went up to how high or not. That one, the fruit, got that type of oil inside, I think. My cholesterol went up to 8.5, And that is hella high, It's supposed to be 5.8, isn't it? Then there's one girl in Subang, I think one lady, who is very paranoid about cholesterol. She went and see Sui An. She complained, she said the blood test came out, her cholesterol was exceeded. The total cholesterol exceeded the recommended range. I asked Sui An, exceeded by how much? He said a bit only, 6 or 6.1, above the 5.8. Oh, Can I ask her to come? Then I tell her I was 8.5. He looked at me. Because I say, if you take care, it's not a problem. Because from 8.5, straight away, after I stop that fruit, it starts to drop. All my other diets same, except I change to this oat. I still take the rest. But my cholesterol dropped. From 8.5 is back to normal now. The last one, about 1-2 weeks ago, because so far I took 3 blood tests. I take the interval of 2 days, 1 week, 1 week. The 8.5 dropped to 7.3 the first time. Straight away, 2 days later, dropped to 7.3. Then from 7.3, dropped to 6 point something. Then the 2 weeks later, it dropped to 6. Now my cholesterol is 6. So all this will come down when you know what are the proper food and all those things. It's that fruit, don't take. It's bad for your liver and it push your bad cholesterol out. My total cholesterol went up to 8.5 was because the bad cholesterol shoot up to 5.76. And my good cholesterol was very low. That's why I know it's not good. But normal people would have serious consequences. Because my mind was good. That's why it doesn't happen to me. I don't feel very bad. Even the cholesterol was so bad. But it doesn't affect me so much. Because my mind was good. So luckily the moment I know, I just stop that one. And then everything dropped back. Then I can feel. Now it's so much better. So much better. Then as far as energy is concerned, maybe without that fruit, not so vitality like last time. But I'm okay. Understand? I'm okay. So the diabetic part, I need to maybe go back to my diabetic pill or what. Last time they told me that fruit can help me in my diabetic. So after I take, my diabetic really came down. I did the blood test. That's why I keep on taking, because I thought it should be good. You know, diabetic go down, you feel the energy inside. But I didn't know until the blood test show up. So your blood test every 6 months is good. Early detection. On the light. What time already? Oh, 6. I have to stop already. Oh no, another few more minutes. Okay, we better stop. I will do the usual sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Jirang Rakantu Lok Swasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merit which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalina sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest always. May the world be prosperous and peaceful. May the country, government, the king and the ruler be righteous always. Then we make aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Sakyamuni, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.